Okay, so I'm going to talk about popular culture because that's something of a want of mine. And I want to take you back to 2012 when E.L. James's novel, 50 Shades of Grey, surprisingly perhaps became the fastest selling novel of all time, selling over 4 million copies in the UK and more than 15 million in the US and Canada. Now, the journalist Zoe Williams, writing in The Guardian on this phenomenon, remark that people who like to trace all new trends back to new technology have offered this explanation, that women who wouldn't be seen dead reading smut on the tube could read it on their Kindle, and this launched a whole world of sales. The unexpected element, she says, is that the shame of erotic fiction is largely in the imagination, and once people had read it, they felt happy to discuss it openly. It was word of mouth that launched the paperback version of the ebook. Where, she goes on to ask, do you stand on erotica in public spaces? Now, the 50 Shades phenomenon and its staggering popularity worldwide encapsulate, I think, why Freud's three essays on sexuality continue to exert very important influence and pull. Dealing with themes of BDSM, albeit rather vanilla ones, 50 Shades of Grey and its widespread appeal show the ongoing truth of Freud's observation that everyday experience has shown that most of these extensions, and here he's referring to the so-called perversions, or at any rate the less severe of them, are constituents which are rarely absent from the sexual life of healthy people and are judged by them no differently from other intimate events. Popular and critically acclaimed visual culture has always told this story, I think. And we could argue that the 21st century is seen as an intensification of interest in the themes of what might hitherto have been understood at least as atypical sexual proclivities. So this slide illustrates just a handful of films released in the 21st century where such themes drive both the narrative and plot, attesting to perhaps our ongoing fascination with sexual pluralities, sexual differences, and the possibilities of sexual adventure. Themes here of complex lives that are partly defined in terms of experimentation at the borders of lesbian and straight, or straight and trans identifications, chime with a broader social move towards the visibility of non-binary choices when it comes to sexual identity, and to the notion that sexualities are always in flux, shifting across time, space, and cultures, as well as generations. So in Steve McQueen's Shame, for instance, released in 2011, themes of sexual addiction, narcissism, emotional damage seem to presciently have anticipated some of the most significant issues of the century to date, a topic that seems really important, I think, to bring into the room early today as we witness ever-increasing numbers of disclosure around the abuse of sexual power across media industries, parliament, sport, and beyond. That Freud still has much to teach us is not in doubt from my perspective, and this is largely because of the descriptive openness of his ideas, in which, as many of the footnotes and revisions to the three essays reveal, the ideas are never fixed in unshifting certainty. As social and cultural critics and analysts, I think we can attempt to take up the invitation in this style of Freud's work, trying to move beyond the limiting boundaries that have been imposed upon dominant categories of sexed and gendered subjectivities. Now, a very specific example that comes to mind when I'm thinking about popular culture and contemporary screen culture is the Amazon production Transparent, known to Americans as Transparent, which started to air in 2014. Ostensibly, the story of the lead character, Mort/Maura, who is an LA academic who comes out to their family as a transgender woman, the show unpicks the family romance at the heart of the story, revealing themes that resurface Freudian debates about the formation of identity through the nexus of the Oedipus complex in all its guises, some of which, of course, are infuriatingly and glaringly unusable unless we're prepared to read against the grain and to try to see what the slippages and silences reveal to us about the complexity of human sexualities. Now, for me, this is the whole point of trying to work psychoanalytically. Transparent does much more than focus on the melodrama of an MTF trans person's travails within his family, however. We see how Mora's claiming of a new mode of identification seemingly liberates their children. And the story's sophistication deepens as we watch the narratives of Sarah, Josh, and perhaps especially Ali Pfefferman unfold. Sarah, who's up here in the left-hand corner, fluctuates between hetero and homosexual desire, experimenting with BDSM desire by appointment. For those of you who know the show, the appointments are very important. And Josh repeatedly fails to negotiate fulfilling relationships with women and is shown to have been the victim of abuse by an older woman during his childhood, complicating the already deeply Oedipal traumas that he seems to be negotiating through his relationship with his mopper, which becomes the kind of conjoined name that the offspring give to Mort / Mora. But Ali takes on the guise of sexual adventuress, and she moves across, between, and beyond conventional categories of experience. And in this, I think she brings to light on our TV screens a whole spectrum of human desires in ways that are surprising, moving, and always deeply engaging. Now, I think the show's genius is in its cross-referencing to family history in Weimar Berlin, and in its evocation of Gittel, formerly Gershon, Mora's MTF ancestor, whom we see being lovingly supported by their sister Rose, Mora's mother, a character, ironically, from whom Mora hides their new identity for fear of emotional reprisal and refusal. In this complex, then, compelling drama, 21st century viewers have an opportunity, I think, to explore both the challenges and affordances of non-binary sexual desire, while resisting the urge towards pathologization. And this is an aspect of contemporary sexual politics that seems to be absolutely crucially important, as Susan Stryker notes in their contribution to Noreen and Eve's book. Stryker suggests taking the non-pathological reality of transgender subjectivity as a starting point and reading out from there toward more general conditions puts pressure on and demands the reworking of such psychoanalytic concepts as sexual difference, masculinity, femininity, desire, castration, and lack. I think TV shows such as Transparent can offer us grounds on which to begin this kind of complex project. In a way, and to offer a provocation, the fantasies on offer in its fictions invite us into a contemporary 21st century flavoured, queer-inflected, counter-transferential reading of Freud's three essays. And this feels like a very exciting opportunity to me.
Thanks, Caroline.